Brother Jeremy Lofgren brings this ministry session entitled Building and Leading a Media Ministry Team. Brother Lofgren oversees the Media Ministry Department and Graphics Department at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this conference and the sessions that have already been given today. I pray, Lord, that you bless this session. I pray that it would be helpful. I pray that it would be a blessing. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, my name is Jeremy Lofgren, and I oversee our media department, which we're going to talk about today. At least in our ministry, that includes print, includes web, and includes video and sound and technical systems. So we oversee that, and I oversee that. And today we're going to be talking about building and maintaining and leading a media ministry team. And before we even get into it, I want to, by way of introduction, say that most of these principles would apply whether your media team is volunteer or staff. I know a lot of churches don't have, you know, when I started, I was the media ministry team, okay, myself. And a lot of, some of what I'll share is stuff that I developed to manage just myself, my own workflow, before there was a team of people to help me. So whether you're a team of one or you're a team of a mixture of staff and volunteers, or if you're staff and you're managing and overseeing volunteers, I hope that these principles will be a blessing. And I oversee, I use both ends. I both have people on payroll and staff that I oversee their workflow, and help us to lead our team of our technical and sound is staffed with primarily volunteer individuals. So hopefully this will be a blessing. Some of the principles apply maybe a little bit differently to each to volunteer versus staff, but hopefully it'll be a help either way. Media ministry team, and one of the really joys and thrills for me in media ministry is the team effort that's there. And I believe that media is best when it's a team effort. I enjoy, conferences like this require a lot of people and a lot of teamwork of people, dividing tasks and getting it all done. We're recording all these sessions. Half of them right now are available online. All the sessions from yesterday's tracks are available online right now at Striving Together, and we've been working late and editing those and posting those. And obviously that requires a lot of coordination and teamwork. And I love it. I love the teamwork aspect of it. I love it when we're all pulling together and digging in and making quick decisions and grabbing. Picking up the slack and loose ends for everyone else. I love the team effort of the media ministry. And today we're going to talk about leading and how do you facilitate, how do you build, and once you start to build, how do you lead a team of people in media. And we're going to look at some principles. A lot of them are general team leading principles, some of them specific to media, but we'll delve right into it. First of all, your first kind of step is finding the right people. Again, whether that be staff or volunteer, the first step in team is to find the right people to be involved in your team. And for this, and this is a question I get asked a lot: How do you find the right people? How do you get people involved in the media ministry? And I think primarily and really foundationally, the first step in finding the right people is relying on the leading of the Spirit of God. And I don't know if you've picked up on this theme through the conference, but it really is true. I look at the team of individuals that work in our department, and by far, most of them have an area or two or several where they are better, more talented than I am. And God's really blessed us and given us a team of people with some skills and abilities. And it really has been a working of the Lord to draw those people to it. So not just to sound spiritual, it really is a principle we try to practice, is to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When we have had needs for a particular position, somebody to fill a position, we've prayed about it, and inevitably God's brought along the right people or the right persons to fill those roles. Some practical things about finding the right people. Secondly, I think one of the keys that can be overlooked, but if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, is to attract and find the right people. You can generate interest by doing media with excellence. I think that's one of the reasons that we have been able to attract and to generate interest in people coming and being a part of it, is because our pastor's always had a passion to do the print and web and videos, and to do them with excellence. And the point is to do the very best, highest quality stuff that you can do, you know, within your budget and within your talents and abilities, because people like to be a part of something that's looks good and it's high quality and it makes an impression, and that type of commitment to excellence and that type of keeping a high standard in media, it in and of itself draws people's attention, and you do high quality work and people will ask you, how can I be a part of that, rather than you trying to go out and delve in and try to find somebody. That can generate a lot of interest by itself. Another note in finding the right people: we need to seek talent, competency, and character. And you kind of need all three. I would probably rather have the latter two. But if you can get all three, that's a big plus. Talent, competency, and character, and those are probably in reverse order of their importance. We've had some people and interviewed some people and talked to some people that had a lot of talent, but didn't have the character to come to work on time or show up regularly, and that's a frustrating thing. And it can be especially true by nature of, especially if you're looking for artistic, people to generally have a tendency away from organization and discipline. It's not always the case. I think of Brother Andrew Jones. He's taught sessions here. He is very talented visually, far beyond what I am. But he's got great character and competency. So it's not always the case, but often it is. So you're looking for, obviously, a mixture of those three, the talent. And when we're looking for talent, typically I'm looking for somebody with raw ability. Doesn't really necessarily have to be really refined or practiced, but if I can see some potential in somebody's work that they did for a vacation Bible school somewhere or for an invitation to their brother's birthday party, any of that can show a little bit of potential and talent, and it's then if they have the character and the competency, then that talent then can be developed as they practice and learn. Letter D under this is seek dependability and accountability, even with volunteers. And I think how you do this is you put you really stress the importance of what it is of what you're doing. You know, we have volunteers in our sound team. Okay, so the sound team that's doing all the services for this week's conference, I'm the only one on staff that's part of that team. That's on staff. That's not volunteer. But there is not one of those guys that would get sick or have something come up at work that they wouldn't call me immediately and tell me they weren't going to be there. And it's not because I've been real mean to them, or it's not because, you know, we're just overbearing. I think it goes back to we have really communicated to them the importance of that position and the importance of what they're doing. Anytime that we have somebody come and help us in sound, for instance, I'll talk to them about, you know, doing sound in a church service or doing projection in a church service. I mean, that is big time. I mean, you have the potential to really help and really encourage and be a blessing to your pastor and make him comfortable as he delivers the message. I mean, that's when it boils down to everything else in ministry, everything else is kind of peripheral to the preaching, people making decisions, people accepting Christ, God working in people's hearts, and he does that through the preaching and through those services. And when you come and do sound or you come and do projection, you're entering into that labor. And man, it's important. We talk about that. So, and when somebody is really convinced in their heart of the importance of that role and that their responsibility to in that role, you don't have to have a written policy that says, but if you're going to be late or if you're not going to be here, call me, okay? Because that's a natural reaction of somebody who has in their heart a value on what they're doing and in the importance. So, you know, if you've got somebody, even in a volunteer role or staff role, that is, you know, consistently late or not showing up or not filling their scheduled times, you know, it could be just a character issue. It could be them. It could be that we haven't really communicated our heart about the importance of what we're expecting them to do. So we really need to communicate that and to expect and to seek dependability and accountability, even with volunteer staff, especially with paid staff. That you know, help us if we're you know, if we're having issues with that. But even with volunteer, we need to seek that. So if we're doing media with excellence and we're seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit and he brings people across our path that, hey, they show an interest in this and they have the character and the competency to learn it, we talk to them, we start involving them. The next step then after we find those right people is putting the right people in the right roles. I have these really creative backgrounds, and I don't think you can tell one thing what they are. If you want to look at them later, you can see. Putting the right people in the right roles. So after you have somebody that says, hey, I'd like to be a part of whatever it is, media ministry, sound, print, design, web, video, whatever it is, you know, hey, I have some background in this, or I have some interest in this, and I'd like to be a part of it. How do you take somebody like that and find their slot, their roles? I think the first thing that we can do is assign projects that help you discern strengths and weaknesses. When we have somebody new on our team, I'm going to assign them probably a wide range of things to do. Again, whether it's in print or sound or web, I'm going to assign them some things that are this type of work, some things that are this type of work, some things that are this type of work, and to get a discernment about what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. And with those assignments, I want them to be low urgency and low importance assignments, because I'm assigning something to someone with no real assessment as to whether or not yet they're going to be able to complete that assignment with excellence. So if you can, if I get somebody new media department, I'm going to look 3 or 6 months out and find some project that I could probably do in a half a day. Okay, if it comes to it's the day before it's due, and they've totally blown it, and give that to them and let them kind of get their feet wet, so I can get some discernment as to what their strengths and weaknesses are. And once I've learned that, letter B, but don't try to cram someone into a role he cannot fulfill. Everybody in your work, the things that you do every day, has strengths and has weaknesses. Okay. I don't only work on those things that are my strength, but I at least know what my weaknesses are so that I can compensate for them. Okay. For example, myself, I am a terrible speller. Okay. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay. Yes, all great media people are terrible spellers. If you know how to spell, you're probably not very talented or not. I just am. And I tend to overlook real, detailed work. I remember one time when I first started here doing a track for the Spanish ministry, and I put our home phone number on the track, and we kept getting phone calls in Spanish for Pastor. I forget who was the Spanish pastor at the time. Is Pastor blah 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 there? No. And I couldn't figure out why this was happening until I looked at the track and I put my home phone number on there. Okay. So now I'm aware of those weaknesses, and I have policies in place of people who those are their strengths, who will review my work, okay? And with each member of my team, I know their strengths and their weaknesses. So if I assign something, some people, their strength is very visual, and some people, their strength is more data, making things fit, and so forth. So I might assign a project to somebody whose strength is laying out information on a page, and I'll say, and get some help on the cover of that from this person that has a strength visually. Okay, so we're working together as a team so that we're compensating for each other's strengths and weaknesses. And you're going to frustrate somebody. You're going to frustrate yourself and frustrate the person that you're dealing with if you're trying to cram. You need this position, but their talent set is this, and you're trying to get them to fill that spot that they're not really meant to fill. That's not their strengths. And so you can go, over and over, if somebody, just decided that I'm going to be the web programmer instead of the web designer, I'm going to get frustrated and they're going to get frustrated. Okay? Cuz I could try it and I would do my best, but that's not my strength. And so that's a you have to be careful just because you have a need and you have somebody with some talent, character, and competency that it might not be a fit for them to fill that specific need. Try not to cram someone into a role they can't fulfill. And let's see, capitalize on strengths, compensate for weaknesses. Okay, we talked a little bit about this. This is the whole purpose for working within a team structure. I'll give you a couple examples of how this works here. Okay, on a type of video project. Many times, Brother Schmidt will write the script because that is his talent. He's a writer. He's a gifted word crafter, communicator with words. If you've ever read any of his books, you'll see that he's gifted. That's his strength. Then he will get that script, get it recorded, and give that to me, and I'll give some visual direction, and what do we see that conceptually communicates what we're talking about in the script? Okay, so I try to put some visuals with those thoughts, and then Brother Larry Chappell is very talented with the individual motion graphics of those scripts. And then again, we go back to Brother Schmidt and get his input on the music for those videos. So all of us are working. Like, I've written script for a few videos, but they're not very strong. And Brother Schmidt can lay out the visuals, but it's not his strength. And I can do some motion graphics, but they're not going to be as good as Brother Chappell's is. So if we each take our piece and coordinate our strengths, come together with a better, more communicative piece. Same is true on our websites. A lot of the times, Brother Andrew Jones, who's one of the best guys I know at just visual appeal and pop, he'll design maybe a website interface. Okay, he'll design what a homepage should look like. I'll take that and kind of structure how that should work. Design, what things we should do with that design and how to navigate. And then we have two guys in on our team that are programmers, Joe and Charles, and they'll take it and actually build the code and make it work. Okay. If Joe and Charles built the interface, it would work seamlessly, but you would not want to use it. If Andrew did the whole thing by himself, it would look great, but that's all it would do is look great. So that's kind of the teamwork that we experience here. Breaking up, finding the strengths, and then coordinating those. And typically, you're going to need somebody to oversee the coordination of it, and which who gets what part. And that's here most of the time. That's me, or in your ministry, the media team leader, whoever's overseeing these areas as a coordinator of those pieces. So we find the right people, we figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and get them plugged into the right roles, and try to compensate for what their weaknesses are. The next point is we try to create a healthy and productive workflow and environment. So kind of this. What we've talked to up to this point is the building a team and attracting volunteers and getting them plugged in, now that they're plugged in, what do we do with them? When we talk about a healthy, productive workflow and environment, I think a key to this is an annual planner. I think every church ought to have an annual planner. We start work on ours about October. So in October 2011, I'll go through and try to anticipate every media project that I know about for 2011 and get it scheduled. When I schedule it, I look at two dates. When we need it in hand, or when does it need to go live on the website, or when does it need to happen in the sake of sound and technical. And when is our deadline? We call it a two-print deadline, but it's that could be two testing for a website, or it could be kind of a start date for technical sound and light type of stuff. So I sat down in October timeframe and try to look at 2011's calendar, look at every event, and try to assess what media is going to be needed for each one of those. Now, obviously, I don't anticipate every single need that we're going to have in 2011. But those needs that come up are much easier to deal with when I've already got the things that I know about planned out and scheduled. And at least I can make an intelligent, we can have a great idea. Hey, let's have, Popsicle Sunday or whatever, and we're going to need, business cards and flyers and a website built and all of this. I can look at a schedule and go, okay, we can do that, but we'd have to push off this that was already on the schedule, or we can push Popsicle Sunday off for a month or whatever we're going to do. It gives me a really good starting point to then go into the year. And the other thing it does is about my 18 months into doing media, it dawned on me that Easter comes every year, without fail. Every year there's a Christmas, and every year there's an open house Sunday, and most ministries have a very similar calendar from year to year, especially large events. And so our needs remain predictable to a certain degree. So it dawned on me that I shouldn't be surprised by Easter every year, because it's on the calendar, 200 years in advance or however it is. So I have that planner. Then that becomes our project list, and that's the next point under here, is a continually updated project list. I have this planner that becomes then the starting point for a continually updated project list. So every request then I get after that gets plugged into the list and assigned to the right people and so forth. Right now, I'm using an online database building tool. It's free. It's dabbledb.com. D-A-B? D-A-B-B-L-E. DabbleDB. Stands for database.com. So I'll show you a piece. I just took a snapshot of this before we... And a lot of these are... haven't been updated since the conference, but here's a running list of this looks like it's just a running list of projects that are on this site. You can build the database with the fields that you need them to have, and this allows anyone on my team can log into this and check their list on what's expected and what the deadlines are and so forth. So as I'm working on my annual planner, I'm entering the stuff into here as a start.
You're saying this dabble.com is just a database to build a freeware database?
Yeah, it has a free version and it has a paid version. Right now we're using the free version. The paid version, the free version is is public. So if you know the address, you can look at our website. I'm not going to give you the address because, you can pay, and it's pretty reasonable the amount if you're concerned about keeping your data private.
And it's for creating project timetables.
It's for creating any kind of database.
Any type of database.
Yeah, but we use it. So I'm entering these in, and this list field has deadline, in hand date, the project owner, category, whether it's print, web, video, or sound. And this is some stuff with the other fields in it. This is an individual field that we can put notes in and that kind of thing. We keep track of quotes from printers in here and when we've turned in purchase orders and that kind of stuff. And this is all you can make it very customizable to what you want it to be. But this is kind of a good portion of my life, okay, is where I spend my time. So looking through that list and seeing what's next, what do we need to be working on now that's due a month from now. It allows me to click. You can save different searches, so I can look at, you know, Joe Wheaton's entire list and say, oh, you know, Joe's got more things than he's going to be able to accomplish this week. I need to probably reassign two of these to, you know, Charles or whatever, so we can share responsibilities there. And then this then becomes continually updated. So as I get email requests for, we need this banner over here for this event, that goes in here, and it gets assigned to somebody. And any information in the email that I get, I'll stick in the notes field so that they can look at. And it becomes it helps us stay on track. It helps us know who's working on what, who's responsible for what, and it lets us make sure that we're, you know, that some guy isn't staying here till 2 a.m. every day while other guys are taking 2-hour lunches and leaving early because they don't have enough work to do. So it helps us spread the work around. So I keep this continually updated project list, and then I have regular meetings with people that are on my team. Most of the time, my meetings are one-on-one, unless we're working on a project that requires some coordination between 3 or 4 people. Then I'll have a meeting with those people about that project, and then have my other meetings one-on-one if it's if going over lists of projects that are specific to one person. That also allows the meetings allow them to ask for information. Who do I talk to about this? Who's in charge of this event? How much does this cost? How do I find out how much this event costs? It clears up where they can get more information from. Next, under healthy and productive workflow and work environment is clear lines of authority. There needs to be understood who they're responsible to for each project, and who who they take questions to for each project. Next, communicate. I've really tried to stress, and we've really tried to grow in our department in the last this last year, on our communication between each other, our communication with the other parts of the staff and other parts of the team. In other words, we're trying to avoid stuff like somebody prints something on the Baptist Voice, hey, go here and see this great thing on the website, because they thought it would be a great thing to put on the website, but they didn't tell the website team. So and it goes to print, and we're scrambling. And a lot of that can be a frustrating thing and can really hinder that workflow environment with that we're trying to create. Let's try to communicate with each other. Next, an important step is to set clear goals. Set clear goals for projects, for personnel. What we really need to accomplish. What does this product? What does this piece, what does this website, what is this sound system, what is this projection, what is it supposed to look like, feel like, how do I know when it's done? Okay, set clear goals so it gives somebody a mark to shoot for. Another key thing that we've tried to do is do annual reviews. And I do reviews in a couple of different ways. I try to review our department as a media department as a whole and look at anything that I can measure, the number of projects that we finish, the amount of web traffic that we're generating, percentage increases and decreases, where our strengths and weaknesses are. So I'm reviewing our department. And then we do annual personnel reviews as part of our HR policies that started a couple weeks ago, but it's been good to sit down with every member of our team, and it's very much a two-way communication. So we sit down and I will give them some members of the team. I'll give them some things to grow and to work on. A lot of times they come to me with some things that I could do that would be helpful to them, and they'll come up with ideas or needs. If we had this piece of equipment, we could save ourselves this much time here, and we do that at least annually. And lastly, show appreciation. I think it's really important, and I think it's I think a lot of times we appreciate people more than we communicate to them. And because we feel appreciative of them, we assume that they feel appreciated. But that's not necessarily the case. And this doesn't always have to be tangible or monetary or you don't have to give somebody a gift card or whatever. A sincere, hey, thank you, thanks for taking the time. Every night this week, I've looked our volunteers that come and helped in our sound services and looked them in the eye and said, thank you, I appreciate you coming, because they got up for work early, they missed dinner, they came in here, they gave up a full day on Saturday, they gave up half an evening on Tuesday last week. They put a lot of hours and effort into rehearsing and doing the sound for the services, and I don't want to be guilty of not saying, hey, I appreciate what you've done. That's true, and many times we feel that more so with the volunteer, but I think it's true with our staff too. Hey, we are very quick to oftentimes to see the items that should have been done better. We're very quick to see the thing that didn't get proofread well and has a mistake in it. But I don't think there's very many things in the work environment that motivates people to do their best more than appreciation and saying thank you or saying this is really good. Often, I'll get Brother Andrew Jones works on did a community connection, which we mailed to our community last October, and I wasn't involved very much with the project at all. I was aware of it. It was on my list, but he was really overseeing it and working with Brother Schmidt and Pastor on the design and the content. And I got that thing in my box, and I emailed him, and I go, man, this thing is really great. It's really nice. It's as good as any printed material I've seen from any place. And I appreciate your hard work on it. And that showing appreciation is a big motivator to people to help them to succeed. And lastly, we'll go through quickly. We need to regularly evaluate and compensate. By compensate, I mean make adjustments to two areas that we need to work on. here's some areas we can evaluate. We need to evaluate workload and expectations. If I've got, you know, some part-time guy that's supposed to be working 20 hours a week and he's working 60, then consistently, then, you know, we need to probably compensate for that, evaluate it, and either, you know, readdress that situation. The other is true. If I've got a guy who's supposed to be working 40 and I've only got 30 hours, you know, he's only doing 30 or whatever, you compensate for that as well. So we evaluate workload and expectations, evaluate productivity. How is this person doing at the task that I've given him in relation to how long I think it should be taking? Or see, evaluate products, printed pieces, websites, videos, sound, projection. Are we really putting out what we expect? Are we putting out materials with excellence? And lastly, we want to evaluate the results. Okay. We were building good websites. Are we getting traffic to them? Are people engaged in the presentation that we built, keynote presentation? Those kinds of things. So we evaluate the results of those. So I hope that gives you kind of a overview of some of the things we're doing here, and I hope that something was helpful. Left a few minutes, less than I thought I would, for some questions. So anybody? Fire away. Otherwise, we will get on.
Can you explain a little more about that website?
Sure. The DabbleDB. You can just go there and start. You can start one from scratch. If you have something in place, an Excel document or some other type of thing, you can import it and start to build from there. And this is, for us, it's kind of always evolving. I think, oh, we need this check mark or we need this field. It's very kind of user-friendly. It's not, I do it myself, so I don't need the programming guys to help me with it. I was going to ask them to build one, and then I thought, you know what, I should probably just Google search and see what I could find. And I found this. I haven't done an exorbitant amount of research on whether this is exactly the best product, but it works for us, and it meets our needs, and we can access it all, and it does what we need to. I could get into detail, and I could give you the address. You could look at exactly what we do with ours, but I think every ministry is going to have a little bit different needs in that. Yes? Yes, that's it.
Says they just immediately been disabling it, so they were bought by Twitter today.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just from reading it. So I don't know the details.
Really? Are you making that up, or you just... No, okay.
So it's still... They're working on it, but it sounds like it's going to be a fee.
Really?
It says effective immediately. The new customer is disabled immediately. New account signups.
Really? Well, I'm glad we got in.
So they were acquired by Twitter today.
Really?
Surprise.
Yeah.
I guess they were
successful.
Well, now I feel terrible.
No, but it sounds like it's successful.
I think their paid version before was like $20 for the year or something like that, so it wasn't.
Before, or perhaps y'all still use the Microsoft Planner, or I'm trying to think, it was quite expensive.
A project? Microsoft Project?
Well, it was another, Microsoft tried to make one.
I'm pretty certain we weren't using any Microsoft products.
No, it was another one. It was a Project Planner thing, but not Microsoft. Microsoft tried to make one that... Y'all put his own to it, and it was cost prohibitive for us.
Before this, we were using a FileMaker Pro, and that was, again, just a database building application. But being online obviously has had some advantages to working with the team and so forth. But that's what we were using before DabbleDB.
This was a few years ago. I can't remember.
Microsoft has one now, and it integrates well, because I know you guys use Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like email updates to it, and it'll flow through Exchange into the database.
Hmm.
So like somebody can get an email, change the update status, send it back to the system.
Hmm.
How often do you get... You say you meet regularly with your team. You got hundreds of people involved here. Everyone's on every staff meeting.
Right. With my team that works directly, those that direct report to me as a staff position, I meet at least every week. I kind of consider us in a constant state of meeting, because I'll walk by at somebody's desk a couple times a day usually, but at least once a week we sit down in my office, look through this list, and go, you know, and evaluate and get updates and that kind of thing. And they're actually responsible to send me and Brother Schmidt, who's a step above me on the flow chart, they're supposed to send me and him an update weekly. On their project. So a lot of times I'll look through that update and update their stuff and then meet with them about projects that are upcoming. So at least once a week with the people that are direct reports, staff with me, you know, I'm obviously touching base weekly with our volunteer guys. We have a Saturday practice for our rehearsals, and I'm seeing them on the weekends and touching base and going over schedule and that kind of thing. And expectations and changes on that. Obviously, with the volunteers, it's a little less structured, right? But we at least weekly. Is that what you're looking for?
You made a comment about going away from Microsoft material.
What's that?
You made a comment about going away from Microsoft as a vendor. Joking or?
No. Well, I'm not a huge Microsoft fan, but. You know, we run Exchange, which is fine. I mean, as long as I can get my email on my phone.
Because I saw the
live stream uses, we do. We are using Silverlight, and that seems to be a decent product. So. Yeah, for now.
It sounds like we're in the process of making it. You bet.
Well, they just upgraded their service to OA.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now, and obviously we're gonna adjust with the technology as it grows, and we'll see what HTML5 and kind of those potentials have in store for us. Yeah.
Thank you for making this available to us.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm gonna let you go. I'm not gonna make you endure any more questions and answers than you want to, but I'll hang out here for another 5 minutes. We have a technical systems walkthrough at 3:30. If you're interested in that, I think they're going to meet in the administration lobby. Is where they're going to start.
Okay. Didn't King say the main auditorium for that?
See, that's what I was going.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.